This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic.
Hello and welcome to my attic. First time on the show, yes, anyway. First time on the pod, anyway. Gordon Midgley, how are you, Gordon?
Hello, Brian. I'm fine, thank you. And thanks for the invite to the attic. It's been a long time since I saw the inside of that place.
I'm going to say, you're one of the few visitors to the attic who's actually been physically to the attic. So it has changed a little bit. There's a lot more knobs, let's put it that way.
You have been on something of a gear spree, I believe, with lots of hi-fi and broadcast equipment.
Well, it's the hunt for the perfect sound, isn't it, I suppose?
It is, and I think, you know, it's a worthy pursuit, isn't it? It's the same, I think, music making. You're always looking to change your sound or improve your sound, either at source or at mixing levels and recording levels. That's why, you know, people are chasing microphones and the like. It's something to do.
It is. It keeps me off the streets. I mean, anybody who's listened to From the Attic or NTAPS or the American Prog Show will have heard your dulcet tones many, many times. You are my very friendly and cheap ident maker.
But, well, you know, all those years at RADA had to come in handy one day.
They're always wonderful, darling.
I was only saying to Larry, over drinkies, yes.
But the only problem now is all the other Progzilla presenters are using and abusing you, and that's my job.
I'm almost sort of forgetting which characters and which voices now. That's the problem. I'm constantly being asked to do new voices or new characters. I'm almost forgetting who I am. What's the Van de Graaff generator song about the man who takes off the mask at the end of the day and finds he doesn't have a face?
Yeah. You've done loads for Mike Whitfield. Now he's ascended to management in the Progzilla echelons.
Oh yes, yeah. We have an ongoing relationship with Mike and the idents.
And very good they are too. But you're probably as well known as bon viveur, raconteur, troubadour with popular beat combo Napier's Bones, napiersbones.bandcamp.com for all your Napier's Bones needs.
That is the main musical course, I believe, yes. It's been a while. The last actual original new album was August 2018, Monuments. And apart from an anniversary compilation when it was our 5 years, we remixed and reissued our favourite songs as a download on Bandcamp for name your price starting at zero kind of thing. Apart from that, we're looking at 3 years. Hopefully, we should have a new album out, album number six as such, will be out in, let's say, early summer.
We'll talk about that momentarily. I think the compilation you touched upon is 5 years in the Wood, isn't it?
That's the one.
I have it in my collection. I'm downloading the waves as we speak, or the flex.
I know it was a 24-bit upload, so you get every bit that you can.
Bits and pieces. So yes, we said we were going to play something from it in the pod, didn't we?
Yes, from the podcast. I believe you're going to play Broadcasting Live.
We are, for several reasons. One, I like the title, because we kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's not 15 minutes long. Because there's a couple of, never mind the quality, feel the width boys on there, isn't there? Not good quality as well, but there's a couple of epics, I believe the Prognoscenti call them.
I sort of have mixed feelings about epics. You know, sometimes you want to write an epic as a rite of passage, but then other times you think, well, really, they should be broken up into into separate songs. You hear, I don't believe in sort of cut and pasting songs to make a big one. I think it's better just to have a song as a self-contained thing rather than sort of pad them out. But, you know, everybody wants to write an epic at least. But I went off it for quite a while. I thought, no, because I could see that you need a huge compositional vision to write a meaningful epic. Otherwise, it's just four songs. And I know when we did, I think on that compilation, I think those 12, 13 minutes sort of work. But when you're trying to sort of put together, on the third album, we almost put out a 23-minute single track, but then thought better of it. And for various reasons, I think it works better as a three or four separate songs.
Very good. Shall we seamlessly segue into broadcasting live now, Gordon?
Let's do that. It's a song about ghost hunting.
Here we go. Eyes down, look in. Oh, there's one of your idents again. Broadcasting live by Napier's Bones from 5 Years in the Wood. Enjoy.
Lasers, come in. Get on a trumpet. I want all the corporation at the Mayfair Casino in half an hour, right? And I want them all there. I don't want any excuses. I am going to nail these bastards, right?
You don't know they're all right.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
Get back in there right now and play Yaya Ding Dong.
Not right. Never felt
felt this before. A gnawing unease has seized me tonight. And try as I might, my thoughts can't escape from the squire's return. But the show must go on.
You're listening to the From the Attic podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio and Dead Bob Productions.
And we're back. That was broadcasting live from compilation set, as I believe professional DJs call them. 5 years in the wood, available at the Napier's Bones Bandcamp page, napiersbones.bandcamp.com, for all your Napier's Bones needs. See, I've been knocking about with you for too long. I go into full voiceover ident beast mode.
Very stagey, yes. I don't want to admit it, but I was hoping that Reg might actually be interviewing me rather than yourself, because Reg in his day, at least, you know, he was the Michael Parkinson of progressive radio, so I believe.
I don't know how to break this to you, but Reggie's dead, Gordon. Reggie's dead.
That's what they want you to think. That's what
Reggie's dead, baby. Reggie's dead. Sorry, that was, we're in a full Pulp Fiction mode there.
The mainstream media want you to think that Reggie's dead. He will return.
Well, strangely enough, he did do some idents for me, so I'm not sure just how that went, but Ouija boards were involved, no doubt.
Yeah, glasses on tables and all that kind of thing.
So we've played something from your back catalogue, Ooh, Missus. What's happening with Napier's Bones Cease, as I believe it's going to be?
It's going to be hopefully out in the summer, and it will have 9 tracks. It is thematically coupled. Right, you could say it's a concept album, but I wouldn't say that. But there's a thread and there are themes running through the songs. We're at the stage where we have almost 6 tracks in the bag, and we have 3 left to record vocals and finishing touches and guitar solos and that kind of thing. So I'm hoping that in, let's say, 2 and a little bit months, we might be putting it out there. 45, 50 minutes kind of duration, I think. I haven't added them up, but it's something like that.
Thematic coupling, is that what Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow were up to?
And yeah, that's how it started, yeah, thematic coupling.
And that's certainly how it ended.
So I think that one of the sort of thematic coupling ideas is that you address a similar subject in songs, but from different perspectives. That's what I'm meaning. Rather than it being a continual narrative that flows through, you might address a topic at different points in time, even. So you could address a similar issue in the 19th century and in the 21st century. And you're looking at something from a different perspective. That sounds quite advanced, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I was nodding sagely. I don't know if you saw, I even stroked my beard at one point.
Yes.
Who's joining you on this record? Nathan's back, is he?
It is. It's our usual 2-man team. That's how we've always worked, really. We're self-contained in that respect. It's just, you know, 2 blokes in spare bedrooms making the music that we like and that we believe in, and we just take it from there, really. You know, there aren't any pretensions to market or anything like that. You know, we don't get involved in any of that. It's just, if other people like it, that's great. If they don't, well, we do.
Well, that's all that matters, because Nathan does all the art as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Yeah. So his normal role, you know, he's a lead vocalist. We discuss the themes and the topics in advance. If there's any, a lot of the subject matter, not on 6, but a lot of the previous subject matters, we base things. We've always said, and this is not, we've always said that Napiers are a British band, and that's not some kind of nationalism or anything like that. We mean that we base a lot of our topics on folklore of the British Isles. So it's, you know, we have legends from Devon, legends from Yorkshire, myth and mystery, that kind of thing. So we always try. We're not a folk band, but we have that kind of folklore aspect.
Napier's Bones from Lowestoft. And on one leg. That was a gimmick.
We should get a flautist. So yeah, we always try and keep it sort of folklore of the British Isles, really. And a lot of the topics that are Devon-based, you know, they're Nathan's suggestions, and we discuss them, talk them over, he'll give me some background, and then we get to work on writing those things. So we at the conceptual stage, we discuss these things. Nathan's the singer, lead singer. I chip in with all the sort of choir boy parts, and he does the artwork.
Do you want to rephrase that?
I realised as soon as I said it that it might sound a little bit off.
But yes, I liked one of the Bandcamp reviews. I saw Masters of Dramatic Storytelling. I thought that was quite apt.
Yeah. I mean, look, it might be over the top in some respects. You know, I think it's the difference. It is a little bit stagey. And I mean, a lot of the things that we do are quite theatrical in that sense. We actually play characters too. So when Nathan is playing, I don't know, you know, when he's playing a villain or if he's playing a historical figure, we always imagine these albums being set on stage rather than just being a flat recording. So sometimes, yeah, it's a little bit over the top, but that's, again, how we are. We pursue that kind of commitment, that drama.
Any aspirations to do it live, so to speak?
We've asked this quite a lot, and it would be tricky because if you think about it, we would need five players, including ourselves. So we would need three others to do that. And, you know, even in the pre-2020 world, it would be assembling and rehearsing a five-piece band for that stuff.
Well, you say that, Gordon. I know Fractal Mirror came over to Epifest a few years ago and there was just Leo on keyboards and electronic doohickeys and Gareth Cole on guitar, and that worked perfectly well, stripped down, so to speak.
Oh, I mean, you know, if you did it as kind of not MTV Unplugged, but if you took it back to basics like that, I think get one other person on board as a trio, I think it could work. It would be possible, yeah. I mean, the Napier's sound, you wouldn't have that sound unless you were going to use backing tracks and pre-recorded bits and pieces. If you wanted to make it live in the room, I mean, look, you know, from, you know, on a very, very rough sort of unrehearsed level in the attic, 18 months ago, I think it was, I busked my way through some Napier songs, and they almost worked, I think.
I thought it sounded really, really good. It was just on a little USB microphone.
Mm-hmm.
No mixing, no mastering, just raw. And I thought it worked perfectly, perfectly well for the NTAPs podcast, because everything's compressed down to MP3 eventually. So,
yeah.
We will get you back.
One voice, one guitar, all that. I would think, you know, with a little bit of semi-pro PA kind of gear, two guys, separate vocal mics, two guitars, I think it could be made to work.
Keep an eye out for Epifest announcements.
Probably 2022, I think.
Oh, and the rest, yeah. Rest, but you're just a boy, Gordon. You've got plenty more music in you yet, lad.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, certainly in terms of writing, we were amazingly sort of prolific in the early days. We made five albums in 4 years. And then we sort of hit a little bit of life turbulence and slowed down somewhat. But I think it's coming back now. And I think the new stuff is pretty good. I'm not sure how it would work unplugged, because a lot of the newer stuff is quite electric. But that's something to worry about further down the line, I think.
I know you posted quite a few very enjoyable gear videos on YouTube a while ago, showing the length, breadth and width of your guitar collection. Are you using any go-tos on this album, or is it everything? I always try to
use certain sounds. I limit my options on particular projects. Something I've tried to do, because otherwise, when you're recording this stuff, if you start changing a guitar every few bars or for every single part, it starts to get a little bit fussy. So I always try and nominate a cast for these things. And I think, like everybody, during the lockdown time, I've spent on new gear and expanded the sonic palette, if you like. So the new stuff on six, there is a new synthesizer, a Moog Matriarch, which is quite a fancy looking device.
I saw a picture of that. It looks fascinating. What does that do?
It's the like the mini Moogs of old, but the difference being that it's four note polyphonic, shall we say. So, you know, you can play chords on it, whereas the old mini Moogs that Rick Wakeman and co had were monophonic. So he would play an organ or something with his left hand and then play a lead part on the mini. The Matriarch can play four notes at once. So you can comp away on chords, or you can just put all the oscillators into unison and play these monstrous, thick sounds. I mean, it's fantastic for Taurus kind of sound. You can have these pseudo bass pedals that just rattle the walls.
Some real so it's ones, Gordon.
It does. I mean, effectively, what it is, it's got the heart of the Moog Taurus. I mean, the Moog Taurus was a two oscillator analog synthesizer, and the difference being that you actually worked it with organ pedals, but the generator part was a two oscillator analog synth. Well, what this Matriarch's got is effectively the same thing. It's a four oscillator Moog analog synthesizer that can do all the Taurus-y sounds.
You had me at Taurus.
I can sometimes overtalk these things. Yes. I always thought that if Napier's ever went live, it would be the finest excuse ever to buy a twin neck Rickenbacker.
What's stopping you?
Bass on the bottom. I'm just waiting for that big live gig, and then the twin necker. I can justify it. Oh yeah, that's the other thing that's new at the moment. I bought a Rickenbacker bass. It's the kind of, I can show you it. The listeners can't see, but it's that chap there.
I'll describe it for the listener. Reg?
You can do.
Or if this is going out in America, Randy. It's black and white, Randy. And it's got knobs and strings. It looks like the one Geddy Lee used to play. Am I right, Gordon?
Exactly that. You've got it. So, yeah, it's a Rickenbacker 4003, which is pretty close to Geddy or the Chris Squire bass. And it's a distinctive sound. It's almost an ugly sound in some respects. It's clanking, noisy, lots of snap and attack on there. There are bass that people love or loathe. Personally, I've always played Fender basses, but I decided to sort of take the plunge during the lockdown phase and get hold of one, and that's going to feature quite heavily on the new material.
I would suggest then that people want to keep an eye on napiersbones.bandcamp.com for all your Napier's Bones needs. Any release date planned yet?
No, not yet. I'm hoping sort of mid-May, I think, that kind of time.
Super. Have we got a title?
No, not yet. It might be called From the Fields. That's the working title. But these things are always subject to change. I'm terrible with album titles. How do you, if it's not a concept album, even if it is a concept album, how do you name an album?
We could have a competition. We could have a competition on the pod to name it.
Name the album. Yeah. I love Upon a Mouse's, Brian.
Thematically, is it more of the, not more of the same, sounds horrible, but you know, with that sort of sweeping panoramic view of British themes and locations.
I mean, there are songs on there which are related to Peterloo.
I loved ABBA.
Yeah, I knew that you'd either make an ABBA remark or it would be Peters and Lee. You went for the ABBA one, okay. But yeah, there are Peterloo songs on there.
A bit of judicious muting that was in order there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm so predictable.
Well, it was an invite. You know, I set them up and you knocked them in like the centre forward.
You know, the piano's on my foot.
You omit and I'll play it, yeah. So that's the sixth album. And what I'm working on too at an earlier stage than the sixth album. So I'm sort of storing up reasonable quality works in progress for a seventh. But that's, you know, some way down the line. Can't saturate the market.
I know before we started on the pod, we were talking about maybe playing the Boys and Girls something from the new album.
Yes.
And you said you might have something that we could regale their oral cavities with.
Yes, I would say that four songs on there are broadcastable. So we will choose one, and I will tell you the name of it when I can remember it. You've Gone Quiet.
Sorry. I was. I've realised that when I mute my microphone, that sound in my right lug goes away. So I think it's something to do with, I think, me feeding back at your end.
I see. Yeah, it could be that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm all. You're only on a crappy phone mic, aren't you?
I am. So that's what you're getting. You're getting a sort of a rebound of yourself. I'd use earphones, but I don't know. I've had problems with a lot of video apps when I use earphones like Telegram and things like that. It expects a microphone. So if I use ordinary earphones, then my mic is muted. I need kind of a phone set with an inbuilt mic, or otherwise you wouldn't hear anything. So I have to unfortunately leave you open.
They do say on the Zoom technical things to tell your guests to have a pair of earphones with a microphone built in.
Yeah.
So apologies, listener. The sound might not be as you're used to on the attic, but blame Gordon.
Blame me. I broad shoulders, even broader. So yeah, I can. We can. Well, it's a bit late now, but we could try a pair of cans. But I don't think you'd hear me if I just momentarily try. What have I got? Let's try this. You can edit this if it's very, very noisy. But let's try this. Last time I tried it on Telegram, it muted the mic. So can you hear me now? You can't hear me, can you?
No, I can hear you.
Oh. Oh, you can. Right. So Zoom works with ordinary. I mean, I've just got a pair of Grados on now. So has the strange sound gone away?
It seems to. Oh, no. When I talk, I'm getting something in my right lug when I talk.
I see. So it's not just feedback.
Not sure what it is, Gordon, but we can talk about this after the pod's finished. So
sure, right.
So we'll get the Rendotron 3000 on the case and play something from the new album, shall we?
Let's do that. Let's play something from the new album.
But we don't
Let's
know
try
what
the
it...
opening track.
All right,
the opening track.
What's that called?
It's called From the Fields.
From the Fields, then. Let's have a shufty at this. From the Fields, from the upcoming new Napier's Bones album, the sixth, count them. Enjoy.
It puts the podcast in the attic, or else it gets the hose again.
The world around
colors fade, beating stops. This masquerade, this masquerade, morning trails through weary vales, back from the fields. To stand beneath the sun, colder now, darker times, have we learned nothing at all? Far behind the dirt, gone the fire, the smoke, the cries, still we carry the fear, never let it happen again, never let it happen. Oh,
from the fields, older now and sadly wise. Too many voices fallen quiet. We have fast for too long for a hollow way. We hope to never see again. Never see again.
This is Mike from the Progressive Tracks Show, and you're listening to From the Attic Podcast with Brian on Progzilla Radio. Hey, Vicky, I bet you're not going to like this one either.
And we're back. That was a track from the upcoming new Napier's Bones album. The song was called From the Fields. We don't know what the album's called yet, but it's going to be out in around May. And Gordon's got one of them basses that Geddy Lee plays, so...
No pressure.
Have to cart, I would suggest. We'll wrap things up, Gordon, because we've been going on for a good 45 minutes or so, which I suggest...
I'm not sure how much it's usable, but you...
Well, I might edit some of it out, but who knows? But it's been lovely having you in the attic formally, so to speak, for the mm-hmm. pod, which I've enjoyed doing. I must admit, it's a lockdown... lockdown thing, but it seems to have been quite well received, so I'm going to keep doing it until people tell me to stop.
I think that's it. You know, people, you try new things in various fields, and I think there have been some interesting discoveries. I mean, a lot of the, again, on Progzilla, there's been the lockdown lives in the early afternoons that people have been gathering around, listening to music requests and so on, so just trying new things. I mean, at the beginning, everybody's making clam chowder and learning how to fold paper. But then after that, you get a little bit more focused, and things like your attic podcasts and so on, it's an extension of what you already do.
Keeps me off the streets.
That's the main thing.
So we'll wind things up on this From the Attic podcast, Gordon. Just mm-hmm. a reminder again, yet another, to head over to napiersbones.bandcamp.com for all your Napier's Bones needs. Joking apart, there's six albums up there, and they're all phenomenal. I don't know if you've got one of these by entire collection offers on that some bands have by the entire discography.
We haven't, no. And I think one of the reasons why is because we've always kept the debut album as potentially free, as a taster. And the compilation album is potentially free. It's a name your price with a zero minimum. So we've never gone for that idea of a complete discography. We've just had it that people can dip in at either end of the set, the first and the last one, and then they can jump in.
I quite like paying something so it goes into your Bandcamp collection. So, but yes, head on over there, explore Gordon's oeuvre. I think all that remains for me to say to you, Gordon, is thank you. Keep safe, stay well.
Well, thanks for the invitation. It's been fun talking on all manner of things.
We shall speak again soon. To you, dear listeners, thank you for joining me in the attic on the pod. Look after yourself, look after others, look after your friends and your family. Wear a mask, keep your distance. Ta-ta. Love you.
Nobody puts a podcast in the attic.
Over to Tony for tonight's gamble.
It's star prize time, it's 101 or more, and it's Brian Throy. And that's a one. Oh dear, it's out the board. It's a one, it can't be done, unfortunately, but that's the gamble. You have
failed me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.